Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we love you. From the worship to the word, Lord, have your way, God. We need to hear from you. So much going on in the world today, God. Give us instruction. Give us wisdom. Give us guidance. Give us direction, Lord. Give us the blueprint, the game plan, the schematics, Lord, for us to go out and execute, to make disciples, to build your kingdom here on earth, Lord, to touch a life, to plant a seed, to water a seed, and trust you to give the increase. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path, Lord. Teaches us everything, Lord, how to speak, when not to speak, how to give, how to live, how to forgive. Thank you, Lord. You've made it all clear. Praying for discernment this morning. Give us discernment. Let us hear what God's speaking to our heart. And then let us go out and live transformed lives. So we thank you and we bless you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we have been studying for the last 3 or 4 weeks, Jesus Christ being the light of the world, we're in chapter 9 of the book of John. Verse 1, it talks about how he passed by and saw a man which was blind from birth. So make a note of that. Man was blind from birth. We'll find out later in this chapter that it's never happened in the history of mankind that someone born blind had been healed. There's no one else like Jesus Christ. No one else has ever done anything like that. Such a compelling figure in history. Jesus declares that he's the light of the world. Then he passes the baton to us and says, now you're the light of the world. So we're waiting on Jesus to do something. He's waiting on us because he's already empowered us through his Holy Spirit. So we're the light of the world. So now we have to go out and make disciples and build the kingdom because we're the light of the world. See this man get rejected by his parents, by the Pharisees, by the neighbors, and even by the disciples at the time until the transformation takes place. But what we discovered last week is that all these were set up. These were divine encounters. So you had the challenge last week to take a note of the people you came in contact this past week and really focus and see how God was in the midst of the encounter. Anybody had a divine encounter last week that you noted? Amen. I'm telling you, they happen every day. God sends people our way. So you have to decide, either we live on accident or either we live on purpose. Because if we live on purpose, then there's God in each and every encounter that we have. But here's the issue. This is how it works against us. It's how we don't recognize the divine encounter, or how we mess up the divine encounter. The flesh will extinguish the divine encounter with lies and anger and malice and unforgiveness and pride and jealousy and ego and envy and lust and racism and hate and impatience and hidden agendas, and you go on and on. So you meet someone, you run into someone, and you're so filled with hate and racism and lust and lies, you don't even see God in the situation. And you miss an opportunity for a divine encounter. We have to operate according to the fruit of the Spirit despite what we're going through. What's the purpose of a divine encounter? Number one, they take place every day. And then the encounter is for us to share the gospel and to be the light of the world. To share the gospel and let our light shine. Pastor, what are you talking about? I have no idea. I'm glad the word does. All right, let's take a look at, let's go to Acts 26. And I want to show you how Paul was set up in the midst of persecution and pressure. He used all that as a divine encounter to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make a note, those of you that are taking notes, Agrippa means hero-like. So even heroes need the gospel. Agrippa didn't know it, but he was waiting for Paul to come share the gospel. There's somebody waiting for you, somebody at your job, somebody in your home, somebody at the gym, somebody in the supermarket. I'm telling you, it doesn't happen. Somebody's waiting for you. And then we can be impatient. We can be in a bad mood, and God sends someone our way, and we miss that opportunity for that divine encounter. Share the gospel. We shared a little bit on Wednesday night how people were met on the job and in the park, and we started talking, and at the gym, at the coffee bean. Where else? It was at school, at the fish grill, at Jiffy Lube, at work, and in my home. Don't forget you have divine encounters in your home. Make a note. And I'm gonna tell you now, and husbands, hear what I'm saying. I will not treat someone better outside in my house than I will treat my wife inside in my house. I will not show a kid at the schools that I work with more grace than I will show my own kids grace. I will not be more friendly to someone outside of this church than I would my own members. We got this thing mixed up, but we can show love to everybody. When I get home, it's not a divine encounter. It's just do what you're supposed to do. I will not do it. I will not be nicer to some lady I meet when a divine encounter than I will my wife. I will not show more love. And Miss Wesley's been here. She came to our installation, too. I've worked with Evelyn in the schools, LAUSD, for years. Solid Christian. There's so many Christian principles that when we come in and Evelyn sees this, she says, I want your program in my school. Somebody say amen. But Evelyn knows we've worked with kids for years. I will not be nicer to a kid, and I love those kids. And Evelyn, I'll tell you, I worked with her for a decade. I will not be nicer to those kids in those classrooms than I would to kids in my house. Amen. I will not show them more grace than I will to kids in my house. Don't miss the divine encounter that comes right to your house and lives in your house. It's all set up. Why do you think God gave you those kids? Because he knew you could handle it. And they need you. Don't miss out on, hear what I'm saying, don't miss out on this. So here's Paul. He's already gone before the Sanhedrin. He's gone before Felix. He's gone before Festus. And now they put him in front of Agrippa. And everywhere he goes, he's talking about Jesus Christ, and he's letting his light shine. He's using his issues and his trials and his success and his persecution to share the gospel because he knows it's a divine encounter. We don't because we think somebody's bothering me, somebody's getting on my nerve, I don't have time for this, and God's saying, that person needs you. We're waiting on God, and God said, but you're the light of the world. Now make a note, Matthew 5:16, he told us, you're the light of the world. Let your light shine. So we pick it up at Acts 26 and verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, you're permitted to speak for yourself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered him. He said, look, make a note, he gave him the hand and not the finger. All right? Because Paul is in chains. He's a prisoner for nothing. But it's a divine encounter. So it is for something. It's for him to share the gospel. So Paul stretched forth his hands. And he said, verse 2, I consider myself blessed. I've been beat. I've been left for dead. Been talked about. I'm in chains. I've been in prison. But I consider myself blessed. Somebody say amen. Regardless of what you, because it's a setup, because he's already had the opportunity to share Christ with the Sanhedrin, Felix, Festus, and I consider myself blessed because now I'm in front of King Agrippa. God set it up. Verse 2, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, sharing all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. And verse 3, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beg you to hear me patiently, underline patiently. Somebody been praying for patience, and then somebody, then God sends somebody that gets on your nerve, and you don't even recognize he's trying to teach you patience. You can't learn patience if you like them. They got to get on your nerve, and you got to go, okay, God, where is this at? Where are you at in this? You're praying for patience. He sends somebody, and you upset. He said, Paul, so hear me patiently. We got to be a little more patient. Otherwise, we miss the opportunity to share the gospel. And family, I'm telling you, this has to be at the top of your mind, because you're going to see during the week on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're going to run into somebody. You're going to have the opportunity to share the gospel. And if you're impatient, if you're upset, if you don't like them because of the way they look, the way they smell, because they didn't grow up like you, they don't talk like you, then you miss an opportunity to share the gospel. And you forgot what this whole thing is about. Enemy tries to trip us up in little stupid stuff, and we forget that we're supposed to be light of the world and sharing and planting and watering, and God gives the increase. So I said, be patient with me. Then Paul just kind of gives a brief history. Verse 4, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem. Y'all know that. Verse 5, which knew me from the beginning. If they would testify, these around me, if they would testify that after the most straightest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. He said, man, I was a strict Pharisee. Make a note, Paul was probably one of the Pharisees that we're reading about in chapter 9 that told the man, you out of order, Jesus is out of order because he healed on the Sabbath. Paul was probably one of those Pharisees. He was probably right in that group. Say, you guys know I was that strict. A man is healed that was born blind, and you're concerned about the day that it happened, and you're not happy that he got healed. That's a problem. But Paul said, that was me. Then let's fast forward to verse 18. He's talking about his encounter with Christ. He said, Christ sent him to open their eyes and to turn them from what? Isn't that something? Why? Because Jesus is the light of the world, and he gave it to us. And that's our mission, is we go out, share the gospel. You meet someone in a supermarket, they're behind you. You got to turn around and start a conversation. Because you're the light of the world. Good morning, good afternoon, how are you doing? Yeah, you buying some eggs too, me too. Amen. I'm just really thankful that God has allowed me to have the resources to buy these eggs. You're at the gym, you're at the park, you're at your job, somebody walks in. When you see the opportunity, it's to verse 18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. It gets deep. So you're under two influences. Whether you realize it or not, there's no in between. You're in the light or you're in the dark. You're in the light with Christ, or are you under the darkness with Satan? It's no in between. There's no gray area. I know it's a tough word, but it's a tough world. When you get out there, you take a look at it today. I'm telling you, family, I'm very observant. And it's the blessing and the curse of it. I'm trying to watch college football. I just want to watch a game and relax, but I see them and they're worshiping. They're worshiping their team and their logo and their brand and player. And I'm like, God, I just see it. Either under the power of darkness, or even at a sporting event, you just have to be mindful of what's going on. And you see, you got to worship something, family. Make a note, you got to worship something. I already told you, we say that all the time. I'm going to enjoy a football game today. I fall asleep on the couch. That's my routine on Sundays. Take my nap. The game watches me. I'm okay with that. Now just TiVo it, rewind it back, and catch this final score, okay, and I'm good. But I'm telling you, as you're watching, look at them. They're dressed up. I mean, they are overboard because you got to get into something. You got to worship something. Make a note. You're either light or dark, Christ or Satan. We've been caught up in the wrong things. They want to do good, and it's not good or evil. Because you could be good and still in the dark. I'm not a bad person. I'm a good guy. I don't need, yes, actually, because it's not about being good, it's about being light. are dark. So we have to make a note. We want to talk about black or white. It's not about black or white. It's about light or dark. Don't let people get you caught up in this foolishness that's going on. We got election next year. You got Republican and Democrat. Don't get caught in that stupid foolishness. I'm telling you, it's about light or dark. Don't let people bait you in. You let them know, no, it's about light or dark. Don't get caught. You got to see way past that and see the spiritual warfare that's going on. Paul is telling them that Jesus has called him in verse 18 to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, set apart by trusting in Christ. Then we go down to verse 22. It says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say shall come. Paul is saying, I'm sticking strictly to the word. Family, you have people going off and outside of the word and bringing, stick to the word. But here's Paul giving this long dissertation to Agrippa. We forget that. He said, let me speak for myself. And everybody else is listening. And all he's doing is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in the midst of his persecution, in the midst of his trials. So you're sharing Christ in the supermarket and other people are listening. Are you sharing at the gym and other people are listening? Are you sharing during the lunch break and other people are listening? Family, because everything else fades away. Enjoy this. And that's what Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes. Enjoy everything that God's given you. Enjoy your blessings. But don't forget that we leave it behind. Only thing we take to heaven is other people. But enjoy, man. I so appreciate and enjoy everything that God's given me. I do. I don't waste a day. And then God's taught me to look for divine encounters. And then don't mess them up by letting your flesh get in the way and you want to take it somewhere it shouldn't go. So Paul's on trial. He's being persecuted. So you might be going through something now, and then you got to realize, well, who is God going to bring into my path as I'm going through this so I can share his goodness with them? Somebody's waiting on you, just like King Agrippa was waiting on Paul and didn't know it till he got there. And your trial is going to take you to the path of someone that needs to hear about the gospel. And your success is going to take you into the path to someone who needs to hear the gospel. So either way, be prepared. Keep your eyes open for the divine encounters. Verse 23, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first and should rise from the dead. Now he's getting into the gospel. Look at what he's talking. This is gospel. This is scripture. And he should show what? It's the light of the world. He should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. It's all about letting the light of Christ shine. Either you're with Christ in the light or you're not, and you're in darkness with Satan. And that's it. You got two choices in this life. Look at verse 24. And thus he spoke for himself. Festus with a loud voice said, Paul, you're out of your mind. Paul said, Brother Festus, no, I'm not. Look at verse 25. We said, I'm not out of my mind, most noble Festus. He didn't call him out of his name. He didn't get into an argument. He just said, no, I'm not. And respected him. Most noble Festus, no, I'm not.
We would have said something else. Somebody called you out of your mind. You start talking about their mama and all that. You get all off track. Paul kept it right there. Don't get into arguments with people. Even when they try and belittle you and call you a Jesus freak, you out of your mind, you this, you that. Just stay respectful and stick to the scriptures. Plant the seed, water the seed, and move on. He didn't disrespect him. But he said, I'm not mad, I'm not out of my mind, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth, and I'm sober. I'm not faded, I'm sober.
He's talking about Agrippa in verse 26. For the king knows of these things. Look at Paul. He discerned that this was a divine appointment. He's saying the king, he knows these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in the corner. Jesus didn't resurrect in some corner. The whole world was talking about it. And the divine appointment set Paul in front of King Agrippa, who also knew about it. And then look at verse 27. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Come on now. Folks know about God, but they're trying to suppress it. And then you come with the divine appointment to remind them of who they are in Christ. You're praying for them, I get it. And you're waiting for God to move, but then God is saying, I'm going to send you. Look at what King Agrippa says in 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, man, you're persuading me to become a Christian. Man, you almost persuading me to become a Christian. Talk about a divine appointment. You see that? Verse 29, and Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except in these chains. I would want everybody to be saved by God, but I don't want them all bound up in chains like me. Whether that's physical, mental, spiritual, or emotional, get in Christ and let the chains fall off. Somebody say amen. That's Paul's prayer. Paul is saying to everybody that's listening, it's not just for you, Agrippa, but it's for everybody. Let Christ break the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual chains, the spiritual strongholds that's been holding us back. When he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice and they that sat with him. There's quite a few people there. Paul is sharing his trials, is sharing the gospel with a lot of people. Verse 31, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man does nothing worthy of death or of being locked up in chains. But make a note. Sometimes you don't deserve what happened to you. You don't deserve to be treated like that. You don't deserve to get fired from your job. You don't deserve all this crazy stuff that's happened to you. But it's God's sovereignty. If it didn't happen to him, he wouldn't be able to share the gospel in such a capacity. I know it's not a popular message, but stuff happens to us that we don't deserve. Yeah, good and bad. But the bad stuff, man, he don't deserve it. Say to this guy, he don't deserve this. This guy is just preaching the gospel. He's sharing the stress, all he's doing. He don't deserve to be treated like this. All you're trying to do is live your life with your family. And all. You don't deserve all this other drama that's coming. Now, self-inflicted drama, y'all know that's we got to deal with that. God forgives, but we still have to deal with consequences. But it's stuff that we have to deal with. You don't deserve that. They don't deserve to treat you on your job like they do, to disrespect you because they know you're a Christian. Or because they know you don't sell out like the rest of them. Or you don't get involved in all that other kind of stuff. You don't hang out. You don't do all this other kind of stuff. You don't talk. You don't deserve that. But it's going to allow you to be in position to share the gospel with someone. And you will be taken seriously. Because you're not a clown. You're a child of the king. Verse 32, and then said Agrippa unto Festus. This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed to Caesar. Say, we would have let this dude go, but you know what? Paul appealed to Caesar. You know why Paul appealed to Caesar? So he could get sent to Rome and go out and do the same thing. And he's going to stand in front of all the Romans and going to preach the gospel and going to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone in Rome that will listen. And when we went on that trip to Rome, and we saw the place where Paul was buried, we saw the place where Peter was buried, and we saw all the evidence throughout Greece and Rome and Turkey where Paul went.
and shared the gospel. And the places that it talks about in Acts 17 and 16, we went to those places. So God used this trial to touch the whole world. Then in 300 AD, after the death of Christ, in Rome, Constantine comes to power. He's the emperor. Caesar's gone, but the word is still there. Constantine gets saved and just turns Rome upside down to the point where even now the Colosseum, where they used to feed the Christians to the lions, is a church. So Paul appeals to Caesar so he can go to Rome so he can preach the gospel. That's why you are where you are right now. Somebody needs to hear the gospel. There is a divine encounter waiting for you. And you'll miss out. Because your ego is so big, you don't speak to people on that level. And you're a racist, so I'd never talk to them. Or I'm just too impatient. I don't have time to talk to people. I got too much going on because I'm into myself and my pride prevents me from sharing the gospel. All right, so let's go back to John chapter 9. I told you I was all over the place today. I'm just going to share a little bit and then we'll pick it up. Y'all know how we stop when we stop, we do what we... And then we'll pick it up next week. Thank you, Sister Roy, and it's all good. But somebody, don't miss it. Don't make a note that it's a divine encounter waiting for you. It's just amazing when I'm focused in and dialed in that I see it. I see it. God, I see what you're doing. But if I'm in a hurry and I got too much going on, I say, man, that was... Why? Again, either we live on accident or we live on purpose. All right, let's pick it up. Where are we going to pick it up at in chapter 9? Are we at John 9? Somebody say amen if you're there. All right, let's see. Let's pick it up at verse 22. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anybody did confess that he was Christ, that Jesus was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So they're intimidated. Now this man was born blind and he's been rejected, not only by the neighbors and the Pharisees, it hurts deep because now he's been rejected by his parents. Make a note that we can't let other people's opinion, we can't let other people's opinions intimidate us and dictate where and when we share Christ. Remember, don't go on your job and get fired, but during your lunchtime, you know, you can share if you get the opportunity, but don't let society, don't let them bully us into where we can't even afraid to say Jesus Christ. Notice they didn't say God, they said Christ, because that's the problem. You can say God all day, because God, you can make anything your God. Make a note, Christ is the Messiah, Christ is the anointed one, Christ is the Savior. That's why people don't want you to say Jesus Christ. Verse 23, his parents said, you can ask him, he's old enough. You can ask him. It's important that we profess Christ, especially when we're going through persecution or under pressure. It doesn't get much more intense than this guy is dealing with now. But he professes Christ. Verse 24, then they called him the man once again who was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. They didn't realize he was giving God the praise because Jesus was God. And Jesus told him in John 8:58, these same group of Pharisees, that before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to kill him because he just committed blasphemy by saying he was God. And they knew exactly what he said. That's why they picked up the stones. But he said in verse 24,
They called him again. Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. People try and tell you about God and don't even know about God. People are into religion and not God. They're into being spiritual and not God. Don't let someone who don't know the scriptures tell you what the scriptures say. Don't let them get away with that. Verse 25, he answered and said, man, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I can tell you one thing. I know I was blind, but now I know I can see. I don't know all this doctrine. I don't know all this theology. I might not know as much as you know, but I can tell you this. My life was jacked up, but in Christ, he set me free, and I live a transformed life now. Well, you know, the Bible has been interpreted. It's been this. I don't know about all that, but I can tell you this. I was in darkness, but now I'm in the light. I was dead in my sins, but now I'm forgiven. That's all I can tell you. You don't have to get into it with people. Just tell them, look, I know my life has changed, and I know it's Jesus Christ who did it. I'm giving God the praise. You can give it to somebody else. You can say the doctor healed you. I know Christ healed me. You can say that my resume got me a job. I know God gave me the job. My skill and my talent opened the door for me to get hired. I tell you that Jesus Christ opened the door that no man can close. You can say what you want to say. I'm giving God the praise. Let your light shine. It's a divine encounter. Give God the praise. I can tell you my intelligence got me a degree. I tell you, y'all know better than that. I tell you, I still don't know how I graduated college. I had to have that conversation with JL before she left. I said, look, honey, it ain't going to be easy. Serena, next year it ain't going to be easy. I still don't know how. And I always tease her, but you know, but Jamaica graduated, so Jamaican graduate, you know, anybody. Jamaica was our toughest one, Bernie, you know that was. You know, what we going to do with that girl? Like, God, Jesus, help. You know, what we going to do with that girl? And now I even tease her, like, JL, I know it's tough. Look, Jamaica got a master's, though. No, you see. Then she just starts laughing, right? Like, okay, Dad, I can get it. I got it. And you can give the credit to whoever you want to give it to. But I tell you, the grace of God is amazing. You could say, well, I've been married so long because I know the grace of God is. You know how many stupid things you can do in 32 years? How about 32 seconds? How about 32 days? All the married men say amen. Ladies, y'all all right. Y'all got it together. But us guys, we need 32 days. It shouldn't have lasted 32 days if it was up to me. Okay, wouldn't it? Would have messed that thing up. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. See, we get it mixed up. We want to give everything else to glory. God said, I don't know about all that other stuff you talking. I know I was born blind, and now I can see. And it is a big deal to give God the glory. And to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, because that's the only way we can be saved. We talked about it last week, Romans 10, 9 and 10. You got to confess with your mouth and trust God in your heart to be saved. You have to declare that Jesus Christ is God. Otherwise, you can't be saved. Here's verse 25. I wrote it down. Here's a revelation in verse 25. And then I'll maybe do one more verse and then we'll pick it up next week. Here, verse 25. Let me read it again, then I'm going to give you the revelation that God gave me. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, it ain't no way I should have graduated from college. I'm sorry. It ain't no way, Brother Jay. It ain't no way. That's all I do know. It ain't no way. And one thing I do know is that whereas I was blind, now I see. You can't argue with a changed life. You can't argue with a door that only God can open. You can't argue with a life that's been healed and there's no reason other than the grace of God. So here's what God gave me. Here's a revelation. God has changed. This is what he's saying. God has changed my life. You can't argue with a changed life. Jesus changed my life. Let's make it plain. Jesus has taken me from living in darkness and practicing sin to living in the light of Christ and being free from practicing sin and the darkness of being led by my flesh. Let me say that again. This is what he's saying. This is what we're saying. Somebody say, well, how has your life changed? Let me tell you. I don't know a lot of scripture, but let me tell you this. Jesus has taken me from living in darkness and practicing sin to living in the light of Christ and being free from practicing sin and the darkness of being led by my flesh. Because that's a dark road when you do what your flesh tells you what to do. I don't know about all the scriptures, but I know Jesus has changed my life in that way. I don't practice sin. Yes, we do struggle, we fall, but it's not a practice. Matter of fact, I run from it and not to it. That's the change that's taking place in my life. Also says, when we follow the desires of our flesh, it rarely leads to anything godly or any type of light in Christ. Let me say it again. When we follow the desires of our flesh, it rarely leads to anything godly or any type of light in Christ. Verse 26. Then they said to him, man, what did he do to you? And how did he open your eyes? He answered them, he said, I've already told you, and you didn't hear. Somebody say amen. Sister Yvonne and Brother John said it was witnessing somebody in the park, a divine encounter. They're just in the park walking around, divine encounter. But then it was another person, when they realized they were casting their pearls before a swine, they had to cut it off. He said, you ain't discerning. You can't hear. You can't perceive. I got to cut it off. Because it says, wherefore, would you hear it again? Will you become his disciples? You have to make a choice. You got to stop listening, and you got to make a choice to change. You can't just keep hearing and ignoring it. It comes a time that you have to make a decision. This guy's getting bold. He's getting upset. He's saying, look, I've been preaching, and you haven't heard. Are you ready to make a change? There's people in our life who are they ready to make a change? I don't know. But I have to ask you, are you ready to make the change? Do you just want to complain or do you want to make the change? And then verse 28, they give a response, and that's where we're going to have to pick it up next week. Start attacking him. They get up so upset and they want to start attacking you. I remember when you were. Oh, you holy now, but I remember when you forgot. I knew you when you was. There we go. We'll pick it up next week. We'll pick it up next week because it gets better. But it's still a divine encounter. And God sets us up. He used this guy's trial. Being born blind, it wasn't a setback, it was a setup. And he has these divine encounters with the disciples, with the neighbors, with the Pharisees, with the parents. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. Now we're going to walk out of here and we're going to run into someone. And either we're going to be reminded, God, that you sent this person in my path on purpose, or I'm living on accident and I'm so into myself and I'm so distracted that I can't focus and see the light of Christ and the love of God and what I should say and how I should listen or what to do. God, I'm praying. Give us discernment. Let us stop wasting time. We're not going to get yesterday back. We're not going to get it back. We got to work while it's still time. There's an urgency. That's what Christ said. It's an urgency to it. God sending people our way that need, just like King Agrippa, they need to be reminded of who they are in Christ. And then we don't have to save anyone. We just plant and water. Don't try and save anyone. Don't argue. Be respectful. Be loving. But understand, it's a divine encounter, and you're not going to get that moment back. God, give us the urgency. You said, go ye therefore to make disciples, to build the kingdom of God, and that you're with us all the way to the end of the earth. Let us realize, God, you're with us. Bring it to our mind on Monday, on Tuesday, When we get tired on Wednesday, bring it back to our mind, a divine encounter. Then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, a divine appointment and encounter back here to be renewed and refreshed and reminded of the work that's ahead. Let us not get weary in well-doing. We're going to reap if we don't faint and fall apart, God. Don't let us get weary in well-doing. God, we say, it's the word says you are everywhere beholding the good and the evil. You see the good that we're doing, God. Don't let us get weary in doing good. We don't care if anybody else sees it, you see it. God, may you be an audience of one in our life. That unseen guest in the car, at the table, at the gym, in the supermarket, wherever we go, let us be reminded that you're with us and to expect a divine encounter. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We bless you. There's none like you, nothing too hard for you. Maybe someone's here and their ultimate divine encounter is to confess Christ. Pastor, I haven't accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. But I want to do it today. If that's you, elevate your hand. Say, Pastor, I haven't been saved. I don't know if I'm saved. You don't have to leave here unsure. You can know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you hear you saying, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life. I haven't been the light. I haven't been anything. I have been a flicker. My batteries need charging because my light is dim. That's you. That's between you and God. You don't have to raise your hand. That's heart to heart. The word says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's it. There's no condemnation. We don't feel bad. God, but I'm going to do better. And I'm going to do it today. In my home, outside of my home, on the job, wherever I am, God, I'm going to do better. And that's between you and God. That's heart to heart. God, we thank you for that. We bless you, Lord. And maybe you hear say, Pastor, I've been visiting and I haven't made it official. I'd like to join, to just be plugged in, have a place to come in fellowship and just continue to build my life in Christ. That's you, elevate your hand. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for the challenge. Not just to be business as usual. We can't be business as usual. Yes, enjoy this life that God's given us, the blessed life. God, thank you for giving us a blessed life. You promised to give us life and that more abundantly. But then, God, let us be mindful that we work for you. Everything else is secondary, God. We work for you. Divine encounters that we missed out on yesterday, we don't get back. God, bless your people. Give us strength. Give us endurance for the road ahead. Let us operate according to your Holy Spirit. And we love you. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.